For now, let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. That is in the New Testament. You may ask, where is 2 Corinthians? And it is where? Right after 1 Corinthians. Very good. You're catching on. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read three verses. Second Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. I will have the words from the New American Standard Bible up here on the screen. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Verses 11 through 13. Now, before I read this, I'm going to give you just a little background. The people in the church at Corinth were accusing Paul of not being an apostle. And they said that these other people were coming in, and these other people who were coming in were saying, Paul is not a true apostle. So throughout this book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his position on that. So let's keep that in mind as we read these three verses, starting in verse number 11. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me for this wrong. You can almost hear the sarcasm in Paul's voice. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Father, once again, we have three verses here that we want to learn a little more about. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as your Holy Spirit inspired him to write. So, Father, today we just ask that we can learn a little bit more about these things called the signs of a true apostle. As always, you get the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in this sermon series on understanding spiritual gifts. And this is week number 8 in this series. And I've titled today's message, Signs of a True Apostle. The exact words that Paul uses in verse number 12 of chapter 12. Here on the screen, I have a listing of all the spiritual gifts recorded in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. We have covered those. These 12 here that have check marks beside them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, prophecy, forthtelling, distinguishing of spirits, mercy, teaching, help, serving, administration, exhortation, and giving. Every believer has at least one of these gifts that I have checkmarked here in front of you. Everybody in here, if you are a believer, you have one of these spiritual gifts. Maybe you have multiple spiritual gifts of the ones that are checked. But there are six other gifts, and we're going to start talking about those gifts today. They are healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, foretelling, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, and apostles. We call these the six sign gifts, S-I-G-N. They're also listed in your bulletin. Some people call them the miraculous gifts. Some people call them the apostolic gifts. I said last week, I am a cessationist. That is what a cessationist is. As a cessationist, I believe the Bible clearly teaches that the six sign gifts that I just had up there have ceased once the age of the apostles, which ran from the death, actually the ascension of Jesus, up until the death of the last apostle, which would have been John, had ceased. So anywhere between 29 to approximately 100 AD. After 100 AD, those six gifts had ceased. Why? Because the foundation of the church had been built, and now the signs and wonders recorded here in the Bible for us would take over as the validation of Jesus Christ and the saving message of the gospel. We didn't need to see the signs and wonders. We could read about them here in the book. Throughout the centuries afterwards, there were no apostles. There were no prophetic ministries. No one spoke in tongues. And no one person could perform miracles on a regular basis. That is until the late 1800s, when a man by the name of Charles Parham started a movement that we know today as Pentecostalism. I'm sure you've heard that term before. This movement focused mostly on reviving the sign gifts of miracles, of prophecy, which would be telling the future prophecy, and speaking in tongues. And he claimed that these gifts were still and are still valid today. Again, that was their claim. And there's so much more that I'd like to say about the history of this movement, but I want to finish this sermon series in 2 weeks. I really do. So I must leave out a whole lot of what I want to say and just go with what I need to say to get the truths across that I need to get across. There are many who jumped on this Pentecostal charismatic movement, and they would consider themselves as continuationists. They believe the six sign gifts have continued. This movement grew from just a handful back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, to, in 1970, 58 million were now aboard this Pentecostal movement. And in the year 2021, just 2 short years ago, the number of people affiliated with Pentecostalism is now at 656 million people. That is one out of every 12 people on the face of this earth are affiliated with the Pentecostal movement. On the other hand, there are many who felt this was and is false teaching. People like me, a cessationist. So let's take a quick look at the background of a very important transition in the Pentecostal church that happened around the year 1998. It hasn't been that long ago, about 25 years ago. The Pentecostals would not deny from Scripture that there was some connection between the six sign gifts, miracles, prophecies, and tongues, with the apostles. They cannot deny Acts chapter 2, verse 43, which says, "Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place." How? Through the apostles. It appeared that signs and wonders were being done by the apostles and people who were called apostles only. Again, the Pentecostals knew this. They also knew that the Bible was very clear that there are three qualifications to be called an apostle. Have these in your bulletin. Let's go through them right now. To be called an apostle, criteria number one, must have been a witness of the resurrected Christ. Now, I'm going to use the Apostle Paul as an example because he was certainly not one of the original 12. 1 Corinthians 9, 1, Paul writes this, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord?" When did Paul see Jesus? Well, we know it was on the road to Damascus that he encountered Jesus. Yes, he was struck blind at that time. But Galatians 1:12 also tells us that Paul was not trained in the gospel by men. He was trained by Jesus himself. Paul was a witness to the resurrected Christ. So that was criteria number one to be called an apostle. Criteria number two, must have been explicitly chosen by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, and him would be a man by the name of Ananias, go, for he, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine, a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. We know that Paul was chosen to be an apostle. And then the third and final criteria to be called an apostle. Number three, must have the spiritual gift to perform signs and wonders. That gets back to Acts 2:43. Miracles and signs and wonders were being performed by the apostles. 2 Corinthians 12:12, we read this earlier. As Paul's giving his testimony, he says this, the signs of a true apostle, were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. So those were the three criteria. So what happens if you are a Pentecostal and the cessationists are telling you that miracles and prophecy and speaking in tongues can only be performed by an apostle, and the apostolic age is over? 1998. Enter C. Peter Wagner. In 1998, he started something called the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. C. Peter Wagner declared himself an apostle. The office of apostle had now returned. Now, as an apostle, one can perform all the miracles, all the prophecy in the name of the Lord, and speak in tongues. The office of apostle has returned. It is now official, and the people in the Pentecostal movement were all saying, praise the Lord. Now, wait a second. Didn't we say earlier that those were the three qualifications, the criteria to be an apostle? Yes, we did. So how do the Pentecostals, the people in this new apostolic reformation, get by this? Number one, how did they get passed by this? They must have been a witness of the resurrected Christ. He ascended about 2,000 years ago. But the NAR apostles claim that they have had personal encounters with Jesus. A man by the name of Jesse Duplantis, remember that name, Jesse Duplantis, claims that he has gone to heaven multiple times, has witnessed the resurrected Jesus because him and Jesus have had conversations. And Mr. Duplantis says this, that Jesus has asked Jesse for his opinion on how something should be done. If you don't believe me, go on YouTube. The videos are there. Jesse Duplantis. Look this man up. Now, I do want to throw this in. There is a church in Stanton, on the south end of Stanton, a very large church. They are a Pentecostal church. They have invited Mr. Jesse Duplantis to their church on numerous occasions. What does that tell you about their theology and mostly about their discernment? How about number two? Must have been explicitly chosen by the Holy Spirit. Well, this is an easy one for the new apostolic reformation apostles to get around. They just say that they've been chosen. We've been chosen. The Holy Spirit has given me this gift of apostle as he has determined. After all, it is a spiritual gift. And now this gift of apostle has continued, even though it really hasn't been around for 1900 years. But they just say they've been given the gift. How do you argue with that? And number three, now that they are apostles, which is this gift right here, now they can perform the other sign gifts because they are apostles. They can now heal people on a regular basis. They can now perform miracles, such as casting out demons. They can now prophesy and tell the future in the name of the Lord. And they can now speak in and interpret the gift of tongues. That brings me back to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. As he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many, many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?'" You notice they do it all in the name of Jesus. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Mike, are you saying that these new apostolic Reformation apostles could possibly be walking on very thin ice? Let me just say this. I would not want to be in their shoes when they leave the face of this earth and face judgment. That is just my opinion. For the remainder of our time here, I'm going to talk about these two gifts right here: prophecy foretelling and prophecy forthtelling. Did you notice prophecy, when we talk about prophets in the Bible, prophecy actually does come in two different flavors. The gift of prophecy forthtelling, the second one down there, let's talk about that real briefly. Anybody can have that gift today. They can. Prophecy foretelling is as simple as preaching and teaching and saying forth the Word of God as it has already been proclaimed in the Word of God. For instance, if I would say this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life." That would be a prophecy, because I am just telling you what this book says. And if I end that with "thus saith the Lord," I would still be correct and not be in any danger, because that is what this says. I'm just speaking forth the truth of God's word as is written in the Word of God. I am foretelling the Word of God, and any one of us in here can do that. But what about the other gift? Let's just check that one. Prophecy foretelling. What about this sign gift? And remember, this is one of the gifts that have now been resurrected by this new organization called the New Apostolic Reformation. The NAR apostles and others in the Pentecostal movement claim that God actually speaks to them just as he spoke to the prophets long ago. They claim they receive new and fresh revelation, prophetic revelation. They are bold in their prophecies by actually giving the prophecy and then saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And because God does this through them, they have claimed the name of modern day prophet for themselves. In the early 1980s, a movement started in Kansas City, Missouri. It was led by a group of men who called themselves the Kansas City Prophets. Some of the main prophets and or leaders in this movement included men such as Paul Kane, Mike Bickle, Bob Jones, Rick Joyner, John Paul Jackson, and others. Mike Bickle is also the founder of IHOP. No, not the pancake place. The International House of Prayer. You may have heard of that. They claimed, even back in the early 1980s, that God was spearheading a new revival from their churches and that he was restoring the gift and the office of modern-day prophet. They claimed that they could hear from God and they could speak forth God's word as he revealed those words to them and prophesy great events that were soon to transpire on planet Earth. Now remember, this started back in the 80s. There are probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people today who claim to be a prophet. Just a footnote. Not one modern day prophet remotely prophesied COVID-19 in the year 2020. But yet, they say that they were going to prophesy the great event soon to transpire on planet Earth. Folks, the COVID-19 pandemic was probably the biggest thing that ever happened on the face of this earth in the past 20 years, and none of them saw it coming. Bob Jones, one of these NAR prophets, was quoted as saying that the level of prophetic revelation in the movement's prophets had an accuracy level of about 65%. Some prophets were as low as 10% accuracy. And some of the more mature prophets have a rating approaching 85 to 95% accuracy. Do you see something wrong with this picture? These prophets average 65% accuracy, and they never claim that any one prophet is 100% accurate. These statistics lead me, and hopefully you too, to conclude a few truths. Remember, all these prophets are claiming that they are receiving direct revelation from God himself. So, what do we know about God? One, God never lies. God never changes. God is perfect. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God has ordained the end from the beginning. God cannot make a mistake. And God's counsel is always absolutely perfect. So I must conclude, just as Mike, that if they are hearing directly from God, they have to be hearing absolute truth. They have to be hearing perfect counsel. Amen? God cannot and will not ever lie or ever give false testimony. So if God is giving one of these prophets a direct revelation, and this revelation, this prophecy does not come true, if it does not come to pass, then God is giving false counsel. And then that makes God out to be a liar. And if God is a liar, he's not God. But how can God, who never lies, never changes, is perfect, is omniscient, excuse me, who knows all things, who has ordained the end from the beginning, who cannot make a mistake, and whose counsel is always absolutely perfect, How could a God like that ever give false counsel? Answer, he doesn't. He doesn't. He can't. It's against his nature to do so. So false counsel from God cannot be the reason these prophets are not batting 1,000. So, why are these modern day prophets only at 65% and sometimes as low as 10% accuracy? Let me give you the answer, and I believe you have already figured it out. Answer, they are not hearing from God. Period. So who or what are they listening to? Well, we know who they're not listening to. And that leaves the door wide open for them to be hearing from any and every other conceivable source, including Satan himself. If they were truly hearing from a perfect God, they would have what percentage accuracy? This isn't rocket science, folks. They'd be batting what? 100%. Oh, 100%. They'd be batting 1,000. But they're not. They're not. Listen, even if one of these modern day prophets is at 99.999% accurate and he got one of these things wrong, that is not good enough. If you are truly listening to a 100% perfect God, then your prophecies are going to be 100% accurate. And folks, they are not. Any one of us in here could prophesy at 65%. I would say that before now and before winter's over, it's going to snow. Okay? I think I have a pretty good chance of being right. There is something written back in Deuteronomy that still applies today. It's a lot of verses. I want to put them up here because we need to know and understand this. From Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 through 22, allow me to read that for you. This is God speaking. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And as we can see up here, it says that that prophet shall die. There was a severe penalty back in the Old Testament for prophets who were liars, who were not hearing from God. And that penalty was death. Death. These people shall die. They are not prophesying in the name of God. So I ask, what's the penalty for these prophets today, these modern day prophets, if they give a false testimony? Absolutely nothing. If the penalty was the same, TBN, INSP, and Daystar would go off the air because all these guys and gals would be dead. Mike Bickle, who was one of these leaders of the modern day prophets, was asked this question. I'm going to put the question. The interviewer asked him this, a very great question. The interviewer asked, should prophets be disciplined when their prophetic words don't come to pass? Excellent question. Mike Bickle, a modern-day prophet, responds and says this: I think if you miss it, you must have the integrity to acknowledge it. You get on your platform and you say, I blew it. I blew it. Folks, if I got up here and prophesied something and I said it comes under the name of the Lord because I tell you I'm hearing from God and it doesn't come true, take me out back and shoot me. He thinks if you miss it, integrity? Integrity would be this: get out of the platform, get out of the church, and go somewhere else. Because you don't belong in front of people telling them these kinds of things. This entire prophecy, modern day prophecy thing, folks, is a joke. Okay? It is a joke. Any one of us in here, as I said before, can tell the future just as accurately as what these people are saying. These people are imposters. But you know what's more amazing than these false prophets? And I think you know the answer to that too. The undiscerning people who follow them. And they follow them religiously. And they hang on every word because the prophet has declared it. Operative word: undiscerning sheep. Folks, I am not a prophet. I kind of like it when you call me Mike. That's good enough for me. That's all I need. John writes this in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and folks, they are a dime a dozen today. The spiritual gift of foretelling has ceased, my friends, along with the miracle workers and the tongue speakers. The New Apostolic Reformation is a phony organization made up of charlatans who want the power and they want the authority of someone else calling them, they're an apostle or they're a prophet. Let's respect those people. Just call me Mike, okay? That's good enough. Well, so much for prophecy foretelling. We're going to end this thing in 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to talk about miracles. The week after, we're going to talk about speaking in tongues, that those gifts have also ceased. The week after that, January the 29th, I will have a friend of mine here. His name is Chance Massey. And Chance was part of the Pentecostal system for a good deal of his life. He was raised in the Pentecostal system, and he has defected from that. He has a great testimony, and I'm going to bring him here to the church on the 29th, and we're going to hear his story of what the Pentecostal movement meant to him and how he defected from that in the truce that he learned during that time. Let's go to God in a time of prayer.